Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Today's guest is one incredible man. According to his website, www.mosen.org, he operates his own consulting organization. The organization helps the blind individuals in their lives in areas such as life coaching, vocational advice, and assistive technology. Today's guest is also the project manager, power user, beta tester, author, and journalist in the accessible technology field. He's used accessible technology to help in his career area of radio broadcasting. According to Accessible World, our guest used his tech knowledge to start ACB Radio. And his website says that he started ACB Radio's main menu show. According to his LinkedIn profile, today's guest also held several job roles in company management and government relations with the Royal New Zealand Foundation for the Blind. Jonathan Mosen is here to talk about his accomplishments with us today. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. And Jonathan, let's first learn about your blindness. How did you become blind?
I'm congenitally blind. It's a condition called Norrie's syndrome. So it's one of those X-linked things. And so I've been blind since birth.
Your website says you've been using accessible technology for about 30 years. What sparked your interest in being a consultant for accessible technology?
Well, it's been a funny journey, really. I've always enjoyed using assistive technology. I just had a natural aptitude for it. And I started really enjoying using it when I was in high school. And in those days, we had technologies like the VersaBraille and, oh gosh, what else? The Apple IIe, of course. We had all those things back in the early to mid-1980s. And I found that for whatever reason, I could really explain this to other people and I could kind of get into the guts of it, as it were. And that was brilliant, because if there was one thing I didn't really enjoy doing much, it was PE, you know, the physical education, running around on the football field and doing all those horrible things. And so it turned out that because of these skills I had with technology, the teachers at school would pull me out of PE so that I could spend time in the resource room fixing the technology or helping other people with the technology. So I thought, yeah, this is pretty cool stuff. And then I continued to use it just to help me get through university and my career. And after doing ACB Radio for 3.5 years, actually began working in the industry, which is a career path I didn't expect would happen. So after all of that time, over a decade working in the assistive technology industry, setting up my own consultancy business seemed to be a natural career progression to take.
Mosen Consulting, why did you decide to start the business?
Well, it was time for a change for me. And I'm interested by all kinds of technology. The smartphone area has just changed people's lives so much. And we look at the fact that we've only had voiceover on the iPhone for 5 years. But even before that, we've only really had phones that give us full screen reader accessibility for a little over a decade now. And so I can still remember a time when we used to kind of tap buttons and try and memorize the order of menus and things just to get simple functions done. So I enjoy the smartphone area a lot. And I also enjoy the process of communicating. I think we all have to think about what particular contribution can we make to a field? What skills do we have to offer? And I think the one thing that I have enjoyed doing since Main Menu, and even earlier perhaps than Main Menu, is being able to take a very complex technical subject and distill it, try and break it down and explain it in a way that other people can understand it too. And I guess it's just been really fortunate that I've been able to have these skills of technological literacy, but also be a professional communicator at the same time. So it's nice to use those skills.
Yeah. Speaking of Main Menu, how did you start ACB Radio and start the Main Menu show? And how did you speak out to all the fellow ACB members about your abilities to do these things?
Well, ACB Radio has a long genesis, really, and I suppose the beginning of it starts off with I was supposed to be working on my master's thesis, and my wife and children were away so that the house was quiet so I could write. And I happened to just check in on the internet, take a bit of a break, and I found out about the release of this new technology at the end of 1998 called Shoutcast, which would enable people to broadcast for free as long as they could get the server and the bandwidth on the internet. And I was just captivated by this because I'd been doing internet broadcasting of a sort before then, since about 1995 or six, using real audio technology. And I had a website called The Arena, which was a blindness-specific site that allowed people to communicate with one another. So I'd been around a bit before then. But Shoutcast just really captivated me, and I thought, here we have some technology at last that will allow many blind people to get online and become broadcasters. And to me, radio, and I worked in commercial radio in New Zealand for quite a long time, but radio was about community. And to me, there's the community that you live in, but there's also the blind community that we're all a part of. There's a common set of experiences, I think, caused by blindness or vision impairment that brings us together. And so I thought the idea of getting blind people together online to do a radio station would be a pretty fun thing to do. So I started work on a project called the Here Today Project in 1999, and I wanted to find somebody who would sponsor that, give us a server and lots of bandwidth so blind people could come together and collectively do a great radio station. And that's actually what later really became ACB Radio Interactive. Unfortunately, I couldn't get the sponsorship. The dot-com bubble was starting to burst. People were getting a bit nervous. And then I set up my own internet radio station, just run by me, that did a bit of programming. I started a talk show called Blind Line, which was the first ever global talk show specifically for blind people. And I think it was because of Blind Line that Chris Gray got in contact with me, and he said, we're thinking about starting a radio station for ACB. Would you be a consultant for us and tell us about how it's done? And I said, yeah, I'm happy to do that. Let me know how I can help. And then we had Paul Edwards over here. I was president of the blindness organization in New Zealand. We had Paul Edwards come and be our guest speaker at the conference. And at that time, I was making some career changes. I decided to leave the job I had at the blindness agency. And at that point, Paul said to me, and he was staying with us at the time, and he said, look, I didn't want to influence you while you were making your decision, but now that you've decided to leave and you're looking for the next challenge in your life, why don't you come and work for the American Council of the Blind and set ACB Radio up for us? And I said, I'd love to do that. I'd love to set up a radio station, you know, by the blind, for the blind. Let's do it. So I got the job, and we put ACB Radio together in pretty short order, and we opened it on the 1st of December, 1999.
Wow. You've created tutorials and published books on accessible technology, and one specifically for broadcasting. That book is called Broadcast It. Broadcast It. It's a guide to the computer programs, station playlist, and even JAWS. What are these programs, and how does this guide help the blind use these programs and become professional radio broadcasters?
Well, I've continued to do internet broadcasting subsequent to ACB Radio. Radio gets in your blood, so I've been doing a lot of other things, and I've also been a staunch advocate within the blind community for Station Playlist, which is a suite of products that's actually developed here in New Zealand. And the developer of the software has always shown a really strong commitment to accessibility. He does care about whether a new feature he puts in the software is accessible to blind people or not. And I think that's really fantastic, and he deserves our support. And so over the years, I've been involved in various radio projects, some that I've been a part of, some of which I founded. And Station Playlist has become increasingly popular. And I really think it's wonderful. As I look back, one of the things I'm most proud of is seeing many of the people who have listened to me over the years on the internet saying, I'd like to do this. Can I do it? I'm not sure if I can do it. And I've been able to convince them and say, look, You can. It's not really that difficult. And here's the tools that you need. And I put together with my friend Brian Hartchin a free tutorial. When I was running Mushroom FM back in 2010, we put together a free tutorial on the basics to encourage them to come and broadcast with us. Subsequent to that, Brian has been developing a really great set of scripts for the station playlist suite, and they work with JAWS for Windows. And so we decided to get together and develop a very comprehensive tutorial that runs for about 14 hours now, that teaches you everything you would possibly want to know about broadcasting with the station playlist suite. Now, there are three, broadly speaking, three components of the station playlist suite. Pretty much everybody who uses Station Playlist is using Station Playlist Studio, which is the software that you use to create your radio program, to actually generate it. And it's kind of like being in a virtual studio. It's a great environment. And then there's Station Playlist Creator, which helps you generate playlists. It may be for live radio, but more often than not, it's if you want to run an automated radio station. And then there's a program called Station Playlist Streamer, which helps you to get it all on the internet if you're using a mixer. So we put it all together. And the idea here is that, you know, if you've been using the software for a while, we think there'll be quite a few nuggets that you maybe didn't know before. If you've never used the software, but you've always thought, you know, I'd like to have a go at this radio broadcasting gig, then this is definitely the package for you. It's available in MP3 and DAISY, and it takes you right from the point of having not known anything about the broadcasting all the way through to the more complex areas. And we give you demonstrations. You can hear JAWS running as we describe what we're doing. And we've just had amazing feedback about it. I'm really excited about it.
Okay, great. So we're going to get into how you worked in the radio business now. I looked at your LinkedIn profile and I saw that you were a contributor to the program Sunday Supplement on Radio New Zealand. And you were also a Centennial Taping Project producer for the Royal New Zealand Foundation for the Blind and a presenter for Counties Radio from the mid-80s into the early 90s. Tell us briefly about those roles and stations. And did anybody ever question your ability to do radio ever because you couldn't see?
Well, my radio, I just realized the other day that I missed my 40th anniversary of being on the radio, because I've been on the radio. I've been on the radio since I was 4 years old. And that was because I just loved the radio as a young blind kid. I just listened to the radio all the time. I was obsessed with it. And so I started calling into this talk show, and I think they thought it was kind of cute that they had a blind kid who was calling into the talk show to chat to them about things. And one day, when I was about 4 or 5, my parents got a telegram. There'll be lots of people listening who don't even remember what a telegram is or was. But they got a telegram saying, would one of my parents please call the radio station manager? And they thought that the radio station manager was going to tell them to make sure that I ceased and desisted, didn't call in anymore. So they had this discussion about who would do the business. And finally, I think my dad drew the short straw, and he called into the manager. And what they actually wanted to know was, would I go in and co-host a radio show at Christmas time where kids could call in and talk about what they wanted for Christmas, that kind of thing. So I had a very high profile as a child on the radio here in Auckland, in New Zealand. And then that helped me a lot. I started a radio station because I was determined to have a career in radio. And I decided that you can't wait for opportunity to come along. You have to make your own opportunity. So I started a radio station at the School for the Blind, which was fully commercial. And it broadcast 2 years in a row for 2 weeks during one of our vacation periods. And we got advertising to fund it entirely. We hired a proper technical company to put up the big mast. It was like a 30-foot mast outside in a field somewhere. And we ran ads to fund it all. And through that, I then asked a lot of people from the radio industry to come out and watch these blind guys doing radio. And so I made even more contacts that way by inviting a lot of the radio people of the time to come and watch. And it was all about my future career. It was all about making sure I had the networks and the opportunities. So when it came to actually getting a job in full-time radio, it was actually really easy for me because I had laid the path. I'd knew everybody, and people were happy to give me an opportunity. I have from time to time had people who said, you may be able to do this in some places, but you can't possibly work in our studio. And you just have to win people over. It can be very disheartening to get that kind of setback when you believe you're capable, when you know you're capable, and you're facing discrimination. And all I can say about that is you've just got to be tenacious and know that there will be an opportunity if you keep seeking it. The one thing that is for sure is that if you let them define you, if you let them set you back, then there won't be opportunities. You've just got to keep looking. And I had a terrible situation actually when I applied for a broadcasting course because I thought, well, you know, I know all these people, but if I can get a qualification or whatever, then that'd be great. You know, the more strings to my bow, the merrier. And I applied for this course and they said, you have to send in a tape. And so I sent in a tape of me being a DJ. And they said, yeah, you can do this course. It's going to cost you $1,100 to do the course for a week. And I was like a 17-year-old student then. And I thought, I can't afford the $1,100, I'm afraid. So I told them I'd have to forget it. And they phoned me up and they said, look, we honestly think you've got a heck of a future in radio and that it would be an advantage for us if you graduated from our course. So, look, if it helps you to fund it, we'll give you the course for half price. I said, okay, that's a fair enough deal. I'll come in the night before the course starts and put a few braille labels on a few things. And suddenly his attitude completely changed. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I'm totally blind and I'll just need to put a couple of labels on things and then I'll be good to go. And he said, oh, look, you know, there's no point in you doing the course if a blind person can't work in radio, just forget it. Five, 6 years later, I was actually his boss on a radio station we were both working on.
Yeah, how can our listeners access that plus the FS Cast podcast from Freedom Scientific that you do?
Well, my website is at mosenexplosion.com, and on mosenexplosion.com, I actually do from time to time play some of the work I did on ACB radio when the thing's not live. And there are various main menu shows and a thing called Beatle Beat I did that celebrates the music of the Beatles and old Mosen Explosion shows. So that's all on mosenexplosion.com. And FS Cast, which is Freedom Scientific's podcast, because I'm the director of blindness communications now for Freedom. And that is available on the Freedom website at freedomscientific.com. And it comes out monthly, and we have a lot of fun doing that too.
Well, let's move back a little bit to your accessible technology area, because I'm just going to rattle off some of the roles, but I'm going to get to Mosen Consulting a little more in just a second. You've served in many public and accessible technology roles, including being the Blindness Project Marketing Manager for HumanWare. You were also the Managing Director for the company called Out of Sight. You're even the Board of Directors Chairman and the Service Advisor in the Member Governance Task Force and Member of Government Relations for the Royal New Zealand Foundation for the Blind. Why don't you quickly tell us about these roles before we get back to Mosen Consulting here, really quickly.
Forgotten that I'd done all that. The government relations role was very, very interesting because I was able to advocate within government, our parliament here, for a number of quite substantive law changes that hopefully have improved the lot of blind people in New Zealand, including securing the right of blind people to serve on a jury, making sure that talking books and braille could continue to be sent free of charge around the country, and a whole bunch of other legislative changes as well. So I enjoyed that very much. The advocacy, it can be challenging sometimes because it feels like sometimes you're banging your head against a brick wall, but then every so often you kind of move the wall a little bit and that makes it all worthwhile. The governance task force that you're talking about, that actually completely changed the way that the blindness agency is structured here in New Zealand. Before that, the board of the Foundation for the Blind was largely elected by community volunteers who were sighted. Now we have a situation in this country where the vast majority of the board of the blindness organization are voted for directly by blind people. And I think that's appropriate because there's nobody better to determine how resources raised in the name of blind people are spent than blind people themselves. So that was a great legacy to leave. And although it was challenging, every year when we elect the board, I kind of smile and think, yeah, I'm glad that we went through that.
So now let's get to Mosen Consulting. I hear that your training with your clients is one-on-one. How is it one-on-one? Tell us about that training and the benefits.
Most of the training happens through Skype and or FaceTime, technologies like that. And we work through with clients what they need to learn about, whether it's the iPhone or JAWS or whatever it might be, a particular application, and design a set of training lessons specifically for them. But I'm also conscious that people enjoy the books and things that we produce, and I am working on a book right now called iOS 8 Without the Eye. I put together a book last year for iOS 7 called iOS 7 Without the Eye, which basically summarized all of the new features in iOS 7 from a blindness perspective, and that was huge. National Braille Press picked that up as well, and we just sold so many, and people were very complimentary. And everybody said, are you going to do an iOS 8 version? And so, yes, I am, and I'm working on that right now. In fact, I was writing some of it before we got together on Skype today.
You also provide consulting services for organizations. What are these services?
Sometimes, particularly where there are organizations that want to do a bit of streaming or some sort of internet radio work, I'm assisting them with that. And at other times, there are agencies who maybe want a little bit of extra help. Perhaps they've got a client who's fairly tech savvy enough to work on Skype, and maybe there's a bit of an issue with the workload at the agency concerned. And so sometimes I will work on behalf of an agency to train some of their clients who are happy to be trained online and via Skype.
How can our listeners learn more about you, your organization, Mosen Consulting, and how can they become clients?
The best way to do all of that is to head over to the website, which is mosen.org. That's mosen.org. And there's the website there that has the store where you can buy the books and the audio tutorials that I've produced. And there are more coming all the time. And also contact me that way as well if people want to discuss training options.
And how can they contact you?
Probably the easiest way is actually just the website, mosen.org, and there's a contact us link right on the website. And if you fill that in, then I'll get it and usually respond very quickly, because people seem to think I don't sleep that much. I try and turn the contact around that pretty quickly.
So, Jonathan, you're truly an inspiration to those who want to work in accessible technology, maybe even work in broadcasting, perhaps. And yes, even become successful leaders. Thanks so much for joining us today.
That's very kind of you, and thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Before we go, let me give listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening. And remember to speak out.
Are you interested in taking a leadership role within your own affiliate? Do you want to learn about conflict resolution, membership development, fundraising, public relations, and more? If so, the ACB 2014 Leadership Institute, held on July 11th, 2014, is for you. More information and the ability to join the 2014 Leadership Institute is available on your convention registration form at www.acb.org. Cost is $75, and it is open to all ACB attendees. Strengthen your leadership skills, share your knowledge, and work with other valued ACB leaders to create an even stronger American Council.